Parshas Bahar is a parsha that is talked about primarily for the halachas of Shemitah. We talked about this in the last previous years, but there's a few beautiful mafarshim I've seen in explaining major concepts of Shemitah Eitel HaSinai, the way to live as a Torah Jew, which I'd like to go into more detail this year. The pasuk says as follows: V'daber Hashem al Moshe b'har Sinai lema. The parsha begins, which Baruch spoke to Klal Yisrael on the Har Sinai. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, tell Klal Yisrael, tell them and tell them, ki sevoyu el ha'oret, when you come into the land, ashe ani noisei nochen, I'll give to you, v'shovso ha'oret Shabbos l'Hashem, and the land shall rest a Shabbos v'kodesh Baruch Hu. Shei shon tizah sadecho, shei shon tizmah kamecho, v'saftes tuvoso. 6 years you shall plant your field, 6 years you should tizmar karmecho, you should do zmira, do pruning of your kerem, of your vineyards. But saftes vos and collected tibur. But b'shona hashvius in the 7th year, Shabbos shavos in yilaoretz should be the Shabbos for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Sodcholi sizra kamacholi sizma. Don't do the zriya, don't do the zmira. Now, this is an obvious stira, obvious contradiction straight away. The parasha begins and seems to say, as soon as they come into Eretz Yisrael, keep Shemitah, correct? Ki sevoy yilaoretz, as soon as they come into the land. Immediately as they come into the land, keep Shemitah. Which means, as soon as you come into Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah is immediately. Keep Shemitah. Then the Pasuk says, no. 6 years do this and 6 years do that. 6 years deal with your field and deal with your vineyard. And the 7th year is Shemitah. So is it the 1st year or is it the 7th year? That's one question. Furthermore, the parasha goes and discusses exactly the halachos of Shemitah, exactly who should give it to, and the pasuk says later on, a bit of an interruption over here, and then the pasuk goes back and the pasuk says, in Perik Chof Hei Pasuk Yotes, Yudches, Vasisa Meschel Koisa Ves Mishpotai Tishmuru, keep everything I tell you, Vasisa Moisom Vishavtem Al Ha'oretz Vavetach, and you live on the land in peace. For Nosna Oretz Pirior, the land will give its fruit, Vachelten Nasoiva, and you'll eat to be satisfied, Vishavtem Levetach Aleho, and you will dwell on it in security. Okay? So therefore, it says very clearly at this stage in time that a Kodesh Baruch Hu promises us that if you keep all the mitzvahs the way it should be done, you live in the land, and not only that, for the Sos Oris period, the land will give its fruit, and you'll eat it and you'll be satisfied. Says Rashi, what's Bishat Vachaltim the Soiva? Af betoich hama'ayim tehei boi brocha. Even in your stomach, there'll be a brocha. In other words, a little will go a long way. Don't have to eat a lot to be satisfied. A little will go a long way. Carols on the Pasuk. Like a blondish of Tosis over here. If you want to say, what will eat in the 7th year? We're not planting and we're not collecting in our tevuah. It says, Apostle with Tivisius Birchosi, I will command my bracha lechem Hashanah Hashishis in the 6th year, va'osa es atvuah lesholish Hashanim, and it will be for those 3 years. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, let's get this very, very clear over here. V'chisoimru. When is this being said, v'chisoimru? And lest you will say, Manoich Bashanah Hashvius, when are we talking about this? When are we saying, B'chisoy Manoich Bashanah Hashvius, when is this being said? Says the Ramban, this is being said in the 7th year. The Ramban said, this is being said in the 7th year. The farmer himself is saying, what we're going to eat in the 7th year, what's going to be? Yeah? Says the Pasuk, I will give Tzivisius Berchosi, I will give my blessing, Bashanah Hashvius. And it'll make the tour for 3 years. If that's the case, the obvious question asked the Kli Yoker is, why are you asking questions? You've seen the bracha. You've seen that in the 6th year, you have a triple produce. So if so, why are you asking the 7th? What's the question with Chisoy Manoichol? You see, you've got triple produce. What's your problem? That's number one. Number two, according to this, what happens if you don't say Manoich Bashanah Hashishis? What happens if a person lives with Emunah and Bitochen, everything is going to be okay? Then he seems to be saying, then there won't be this bracha. In other words, a pasuk v'chisayim manoich b'shana hashishis, then v'tzivisias berchosvi I will command my bracha. Which means if you don't say v'chisayim ru, then it won't be v'tzivisias berchosvi. I won't give a bracha. In other words, it's sometimes better to ask questions, what's going to be, and worry. And then Hashem says, don't want to look after you. Rather than just living with munah b'tochen, and it doesn't seem to be a bracha. Why is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a bracha v'tzivisias berchosvi only after v'chisayim ru, when you start asking questions? It doesn't seem to be correct. The Medrash says, it's a Medrash on the Pasuk, on the first Pasuk. Baruch Hashem Malachov Gibayre Koyach Oysa Devari. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses his angels, Gibayre Koyach, those who are strong. Oysa Devari, who do his words, Lishmoya B'kol Devari, who listen to the words of his voice. Who are these Gibayre Koyach? Who are these angels? Who are these strong people? Omer Reb Yitzchak says, Reb Yitzchak, Elu Shomrei Shviyas. These are those people who, keep Shviyas. B'noyeg Shevo'olam Odom Oysim Mitzvah Liyom Echod. It's a minhag, a person keeps a mitzvah one day, it's not minhag. It's a noyeg, it's a regular event, it's a regular state of events that people keep a mitzvah one day, 2 days. The Shabbos Echod, the Chodesh Echod, it lasts for a month, it lasts for a week, it lasts for a month. Shem l'kolim ois hashana. Is it possible for a person to keep a mitzvah for the entire year? Let me give an example. You know, everyone enjoys a good holiday. Everyone enjoys going away, even the business. That's the way it is. People work in order to enjoy themselves, etc. And I was once walking in Switzerland, and I was 3,500 meters up on the Kovach. Beautiful mountain. You can't imagine how beautiful. Snow-capped. And it's the middle of Nissen Moritz there. Absolutely stunning. It's a mountain, a Kovach, a beautiful mountain. Absolutely stunning. It's very funny. I met an Israeli there, and he says to me, you know, you can't imagine the view you see from there, and the air and everything. He says to me, Ma yesh lasot po? You know, what is there to do here? So what are you looking for, an amusement park? What is there to do here? This is one of the most beautiful places in the world. Right? And I see this person walking with his wife, and they're enjoying the view and enjoying the scenery. All of a sudden, his mobile phone rings. And that's it. That's it. That is the end of the conversation. He is yelling and screaming back to the office, tell them what to do, da 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 da. And his wife is walking behind, you know, completely cheesed off, and he's walking in front there, completely engrossed in what's going on. Everyone's looking as if it's completely crazy, speaking, there's screaming in the Vrit. You know, you don't scream 3,500 meters up. And that's a conversation. And I watched him from the distance, and this carried on for an hour, 2 hours. And, you know, what's Peshat? Obviously, he spent a large amount of money in order to afford this holiday. He's finally got there. But his phone rang, and that's it. He is back from his holiday, back in the office as far as he's concerned. You see a person with a Shmon Esri, and he's doing Shmon Esri beautifully. Suddenly, he holds his heart. In old times, it's called Hatzala, right? No, his BlackBerry just has vibrated. And as soon as there's a quick Shmon Esri, boom, 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 he's back on his BlackBerry, and he's seeing all the emails. And it's very, very difficult for a person to switch off. You're going out in a restaurant. How many times a mobile phone ring and they stop the conversation and they're back on the mobile phone? It's very hard to switch off from business. It's difficult. It used to be a time where you can easily do it. There's no mobile phones. There's no BlackBerries. There's no iPhones. It's fantastic. Today, you're always connected. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to give you a mitzvah that's going to totally disconnect you from your world of commerce. You're a farmer. A posh of the farmer, a simple guy. And every day, from early morning on, you wake up early and you go out and you prune and you cut and you weed and you plant. And it's 6 continuous years doing this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Your beautifully manicured fields, your beautifully cared for gardens, it's all hefka. Anyone can come in and take whatever they want. And not only that, you're not allowed to work. And the place falls into disrepair, and it looks ugly and looks overgrown. Remember, I had my little garden in my previous apartment. My daughter, who was about 7, says to me, Daddy, is Shmita a sad year? You know, the beautifully cut grass and all the flowers, and suddenly it's all overgrown. I said, no, it's a happy year, Shmita. And it's very hard to understand such a thing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, this is not going to happen for a day, it's not going to happen for a week, it's not going to happen for a month, it's going to happen for an entire year. You see all your beautiful fruit and go into disrepair, people taking it off the trees and eating them, walking through your fields, and you can't do a thing, you're not allowed to do a thing. And that takes koyach. That takes strength. Not only that, according to the Kli Yoker, According to the Kli Yakar, the kasha we asked before, v'chisoyim r'mayoicha b'shona hashishis, b'shona hashvis, is talking about the seventh year. The question we asked was, if he's seen a triple crop, what's he worried about? Answer the Kli Yakar, you know what he's worried about? Because he has not seen a triple crop. He has just seen exactly the same amount of tevuah coming in that comes in every single year. No increase at all. What's going to happen? All that's going to happen is a little is going to go a lot further. And therefore his storehouse has exactly the same amount of storage that he's had all these years, according to Kli Yakar. And everyone holds like that. But according to Kli Yakar, that's what happens. And he's living on exactly the same amount, and suddenly what's supposed to last him for 1 year lasts him for three. And he's not working, and he doesn't go out, and he doesn't prune, and he doesn't look, and asks everyone to just trounce all over his properties. That is Gebura Koyach, that strength. And that takes tremendous petochen to the extent that Kodesh Baruch Hu calls us melochim if we do such a thing. We're angels. It takes supernatural strength for a human being not to be worried about the panosa and to concentrate on Ratzon Hashem in that situation. And who's this person? Who's this? Is he a malach? He's a regular farmer. How can we expect such a thing? The Teretz is Rabbi Yisai. Loma nismacho. Ma'in yishmit el eitzel ha-sinai. Because the Torah gives us his koyach. The fact that we got the Torah at Har-Sinai, that is gives us, the Jew, the koyach to keep Shemitah. It gives us a koyach to be supernatural, and that's what's expected from us. And if you don't do it, not pshat, you're going to just miss a mitzvah out, a mitzvah deraita, but the Torah promises us golos. Parashas Eker, the posuk promises us golos. If you don't keep Shemitah, we're going to be thrown out of Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael and Shemitah go hand in hand. It's all based on Bitochem. Today, I don't want to be in any way sharp or anti-Zionist or anything in that Chassid Shalom, in that kind of tone. But today, the State of Israel is celebrating Yom Ha'atzmaut. And there's celebrations, and there's flags, and there's fireworks, and there's a day off, and people are having a good time, there's barbecues. The question really one has to ask oneself is there real independence today? Can we really celebrate at this stage of our existence in Eretz Yisrael independence? End of the day, our arch enemies, Hamas, have joined up with Fatah, and they've made peace, and they want to call out, they want to declare a unilateral declaration of State of Palestine by September. Now, as they're going to push through the EU and wherever it is, and United Nations, to call Palestine even without any security guarantees to Israel whatsoever. And who are these people? They aren't the neighbouring friends. This is a terrorist organisation which is armed by Iran. And these are the people who are going to be literally sitting on our doorstep. Literally sitting on our doorstep. Whether it's Beitar, which is right next to Arab... right next to the Green Line, whether it's Kiryat Sefer, which is right next to the Green Line. And these are the people who are going to be literally our neighbours, terrorists, our neighbours. Not only that, the day when they made peace, the EU gave $850 million to this terrorist organisation in order to, you know, to finance this particular agreement. That's our problem from within. From without, we have Iran, which is promising to wipe us off the map. In a very peaceful way. It's only it's a peaceful nuclear venture, but they promise to wipe us off the map. And we take a little flag and we say, "Oh, Yom HaTzimut, we're independent." Are we really independent? We've got to be crazy to be living here. You've got to be crazy to be living here. And if this would be a regular country, this would be England, people would be panicking. This would be America, people would be panicking. And somehow or another, we live in Eretz Yisrael. And we live here, and we thrive here, and you're not too worried. We are worried, we daven, but we're living here. The Pasuk says, V'shaptim la'oretz levetach. If you want to learn how to live in the land, it's got to be V'shaptim ba'oretz levetach. Living in the land would teach you bitochen. V'shaptim la'oretz levetach. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you learn bitochen. Eretz Yisrael has never, ever been stable. Never ever been stable. It's never been a country that can rely from year to year that you're going to have the next 10 years of peace. It's never happened. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has put us here in order to teach us bitochen. And if we have bitochen, we can survive. If you don't have bitachon, then we end up like all the other people who do yirida, and that's why half the yellow cab drivers in New York speak of rit, because they don't have the bitachon to be able to survive here financially or securely. V'shaptun oretz v'vetach. That's pshat. It's brought down. I saw Nesiva Shalom. It says, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to Klal Yisrael, v'marta aleim, and say to them, listen to this beautiful pshat, ki savoyu el oretz. When, if you want to come to Eretz Yisrael, if you want to make your place a place of residence in Eretz Yisrael, if you want to survive in Eretz Yisrael, ki savoyu el oretz. If you want to come to Eretz Yisrael, you got to remember, Asher ani noisei nochem, I am giving it to you. It's Ribbono Shel Olam running the show over here. This is Hashem making the rules. Ish ani noisei nochem. This is not. This doesn't make sense if man runs it. It's ani noisei nochem. I am running it, said the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Don't worry. V'shobsa ha'oretz, and then you'll be able to dwell in the land. In a gashmius way, and not only that, Shabbos Lashem will be in a ruchnius way too. You'll grow and be able to survive here, but gashmius ubruchnius, if you realize, Asher ani noisei nochem, that I'm giving it to you, I'm running this land. And then, says the Pasuk, we learn that from Shmita. Shei shalom tizra sadecho, v'shei shalom tizra kamecho. We learn the din of bitochen, how to have bitochen from Shmita. But this is an introduction of how to come into Eretz Yisrael, not pshat, that as soon as you come into Yisrael, you've got to keep Shmita. The tonight to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael is with bitochen. There's no way we can live here without that. And that's a tonight. And that can explain a very, very beautiful pshat. The base Av says later on in the parasha. If you look in the parasha in Chof Hei, the parasha begins with Hilchus Shmita. Then it goes into the halachas of Hilchus Yovel. And then upon it Yudalit, suddenly it goes into the halachas of sale of a piece of land, which talks about giving back the piece of land in Yovel. But upon it Yudzayin, it talks about Leisoyna Ish. What's that referring to? Oinas, no, not Oinas Devorim. Oinas Mammon, not ripping somebody off. Not ripping somebody off. Why does this pasuk come in Hilchus Shmita and Hilchus Yovel? Why doesn't it come in a separate mitzvah? Why does it sort of get sandwiched in the middle of nowhere? Says a base Av, Rishot V'Yochum Schlesinger, a beautiful pshat. He says, when a person lives their life with bitochen, when a person understands that at the end of the day, Ribbono Shel Olam is signing the checks, then you don't start ripping people off. You don't start making a quick buck on somebody else's weakness. You live your life with a mun and betochen that Ribbono Shel Olam is the one, I can quite happily go through life, not worried about what's the other person going to do. What, you know, it's the law of the jungle. I've got to keep the laws of the jungle. I've got to rip off my friend. I've got to lie to my neighbor. I've got to lie to the tax people. I can't live my life otherwise. It's not true. If you live emun and betochen, if you live shmita, there's no reason at all why you start ripping off your friend. Because Ribbono Shel Olam, at the end of the day, will give you your panasa. And if you gain $1,000 here, you lose $1,000 there. Yeah, you gain $1,000, you think, oh, I made $1,000, suddenly your car breaks down, you got to pay $1,000 there. That is the way it's going to happen. V'leisona isha samisoi is a direct consequence of somebody who knows the hilchus betochen of how to live in Eretz Yisrael and how to use the hilchus shmita in the correct way. Now, people talk about betochen, and betochen is something which is incredibly difficult to live with. What's the advantages of having bitachon? How does this parasha teach us the advantages of having bitachon? So Reb Moshe says a beautiful pshat. Reb Moshe says, "V'chisoyim v'nosn ha'aretz piria v'achaltem l'seiva v'yishavtim l'vetachalel." I'll give you your fruit. V'achaltem l'seiva and you eat to be satisfied. V'yishavtim l'vetachalel. Says Rashi, "How are you going to be satisfied? Oichol kimo u'misporach me'el. You eat a little bit and you'll be satisfied." And if you'll say to yourself, well, I eat in the seventh year, I'm not planting anything. So it's a possible, I'll give my bracha. What's Peshat over there? And then I'll give my bracha. What's Peshat? And without asking this question, I'll not give the bracha. Says Ramesh, you know what's going to happen? If you don't ask questions, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the bracha in a way that you don't even see it, and you won't have to work hard. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make you do exactly the same amount of work that you do every other year, with using the same methods of cutting it down, storing it in the same places, not having to work so hard, and still you'd have enough to last you for the entire 7 years. Yeah, for the 6th year, for the 7th year, and for the 8th year. However, if a person says, what am I going to eat? So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't know. You mekatne amuna. You don't know. You know what? B'tzivisis berchosi. Then I'll give my bracha, and you'll have now triple tvur. Which means, because you don't believe the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? I'll show you. And I'll give you triple tvur. And now, what's the disadvantage to that? You got to go along now and cut down much more. And you got to find now extra storage space. And you got to pack it in a way that doesn't get spoiled for the next 3 years. And that takes much, much more work. So what the Pasuk is saying over here is, Rabbi Hashem says, you don't ask questions, you'll be fine. If you ask questions, sometimes in our life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the answers. But it'll come with an expense of much, much more work. It'll come at the expense of having to work more and store more and ultimately worry more. There's a beautiful story I heard, name of Mr. Brennig in London. He's my brother-in-law's neighbour. He said over the story, Moshel, I'm not sure it's a story or Moshel. They bring it, Moshel Kamenetsky brings it. It's a very, very nice story. He said there were two people in London who inherited gold. Inherited gold. Their father dealt in gold ingots, and inherited gold. Gold ingots, gold coins, and inherited this gold. And they don't want to put it in a bank deposit box, safe deposit box, because obviously the tax issues, and to declare it as a problem, and they didn't trust it. So what they did was, they decided for the old age, they're going to hide it in the garden. So Reuven and Shimon, Reuven goes to his garden, and he makes a spot of the ground, and he starts counting 20 paces, and 20 paces in front, 5 paces to the right, 3 paces forward, he digs a little hole, and very, very deep hole. He puts his whole sack of gold ingots inside there with his gold coins, and he looks around, makes sure nobody's looking, and he looks and he looks, and oh, Baruch Hashem, nobody's looking. He puts the gold coins in and he covers it up. Okay, fine. Same story happens with Shimon. Does the same thing, because 20 paces forward, turns to the right, another few paces forward, he puts the coins in, but he wasn't careful to make sure nobody was looking. And he's got this fellow living next door, and he sees this guy with a shovel. It's the last time he sees the guy with a shovel. He never uses a shovel. And he sees and he watches what's going on, dead of night, and he peeks through the hole there, and he sees this guy with a big bag. And he's digging, and he's put the gold, the sack of the gold in, sees him covering it up. Very good. So he makes a mental note exactly where it is, fine. A month later, Reuven's getting all nervous. You know, he's a very nervous type. What's going to be? Maybe somebody saw me. Oi. You know, so in dead of night, he goes out, makes sure nobody's looking, and he starts digging. He walks paces, and he goes his 20 paces forward, and he turns to the right, and he does a few. And he digs, and he digs, and there's nothing there. Nothing there. Somebody stole all my money. Oi. Oi, vey. Oi, vey. Oi. What's going to be with my pension? What's going to be with my future? Terrible. He's devastated. The problem was, when he did it the first time, it was during the day. The second time, he did it at night. And he didn't count the paces properly. And what's really happened was, he turned right a little bit too early. And there, a few paces away, is all his money lying there. But he is a nervous wreck. All his money is gone. What's going to be? That's absolutely terrible. Shimon, on the other hand, he's got this neighbor who saw him burying the gold. And this neighbor, a few days later, climbs over the fence in the dead of night and digs up the part in the garden exactly where it was. And he pulls out this whole bag of gold. These are a couple of gold pieces there just to make, you know, the guy think it's something else, whatever. And he takes his whole bag of gold and he goes along and he emigrates and he moves to the south of France and he becomes a multimillionaire. Okay? Shimon knows nothing about it. Shimon lives his life. Ah, Baruch Hashem. I've always know what to look forward to. I've got my pension to look forward to. I've always got to rely on the gold. Baruch Hashem, I've got nothing to worry about. Reuven, who has the money, is a nervous wreck. Shimon doesn't have the money, is living a life of absolute calm, absolutely fantastic. That's what the Pasuk is saying over here. Sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person doesn't ask questions, he may not see the bracha, he may not even have the bracha. He may not even have the bracha, but he lives a life of Baruch Hashem, he's relaxed. People are asked questions. People ask questions, even if they get the bracha, even if they have the gold lying in the garden, they're never ever going to be happy. And even if Hashem gives them triple the amount, v'sevises berachosi, he still has the gold lying in his garden, he still will remain Nebuchadnezzar's wreck. And therefore that is bitochen. Bitochen is a fundamental belief that Rabbeinu Shloilam has a control to make our lives the way it should be. Not necessarily always good, looking money bitochen of the Chazon Ish. But ultimately, we're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control. He controls everything. And therefore, the Pasuk is saying over here is, you know what? You want to ask questions? I'll give you bracha. But you know what? You're still going to suffer. You see triple produce, and you're still going to be nervous, says the Ramban. Even on the seventh year, when you have triple produce, oy vey, what's going to be? You know how many people I go fundraising to? And they have huge amounts of money lying there, but in the capital. But since they didn't make money this year, they can't take away from the capital. Hashem gave them the previous years a triple abundance to give out money and money and money and money. But they haven't seen it this year and they forget about how wealthy they are. And unless the money is actually coming through and producing new cash, they can't go back to the capital. That's exactly what's happening over here. People don't ask questions and do Ratzon Hashem in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to run their life. Not only are they happier, They don't even need the bracha in the first place. The Kodesh Baruch Hu looks after them. They live their life thinking that it's gold there. Everything's fine. People will start asking questions. They can even have the Tzivisius Baruchos. The Kodesh Baruch Hu can give them. And even the seventh year, when they have 3 years of produce in their storehouses, they're still worried, according to the Ramban. Or according to Ramesh, they have to work a lot harder to make sure that stuff is looked after the way it should be. That is the difference in Munim B'tochen or not. There's a vort that they bring over from Reb Zusha, in a name that Reb Zusha heard, the name of Eliyahu HaNavi'. Whether Reb Zusha heard it from Eliyahu HaNavi' directly or not, I don't know. But this is the other Mephoshim bring it down to many other places as well. V'sivisis berchosi means as follows. The question we asked was, it seems to be saying v'chisoimru, only if you ask a question that creates v'sivisis berchosi. But a person never asks a question, doesn't seem like you'll get the brocha automatically. That doesn't seem to be fair. Answers that the Bali Musa, Reb Zusha says it as well, that bracha, bitochen, creates a reality without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention. Bracha connects itself to a tzaddik. A person who believes in Rabbeinu Shloilam, automatically, he deserves bracha. Where's the raya? It's brought by Eliezer. By Eliezer, it says that when Eliezer is watching Rivka, the water rose up when she is giving water to Eliezer. It doesn't say the water rose up when she's giving water to Eliezer's camels. On that, Mephoshim bring down as a raya that Teva wants to have a shaychus, wants to connect itself with a tzaddik, and wants to provide a tzaddik with bracha. But obviously these camels weren't tzaddikim, and therefore the water never rose up towards the camels. The Pasuk says, V'yovoy alech kol brachos ele v'hisigucho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the brachos will run after you. A tzaddik can run away from brachos, but Teva will run after him. Teva wants to connect itself to a bracha. And therefore, a person doesn't ask shaylos who's absolutely perfect in his betochen, he'll get his bracha without anything. But a person who's asking questions, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to interfere, and the Tzivisius Berachos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got to make a new command of making a new tzavah on the bracha, and only then the bracha will kick in. But without that, the bracha will not work. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to intervene when you don't have bitochen. The world survives on bitochen. People create their own reality by bitochen. A person can become different living with bitochen. And there's people like that today. Told the story a while back. There was a man who lived in Bnei Brak, and he had Kanaino Hora, one child, another child, another child, another child, and all this time he's sitting learning in Koil. And you know, from where he came from, people thought it was very, very irresponsible. You know, what's he going to be? He's sitting and learning, what's going to be? And he had a very happy family, lived in a small apartment, he's very happy. What's going to be? He said, listen, I'm going to do what I have to do. I want to learn. I want to become a Talmud Chacham. I want to bring up a family based on Bnei Torah. And, you know, it's a Shemitah year for me. And he has a right to do that, by the way. The Rambam said at end of Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, Loi Al-Shev Levi Bilvad. Anyone who wants to put Nosson Liboy to live that way, he is entitled to do so. Look at Rambam, end of Shemitah V'Yovel. I'm not going into that now. Okay?
Which is the Shmiti?
End of Shmiti, no, end of Shmiti of Yovel. In his whole life, a person's allowed to live that way, you know, and it's irresponsible. Look in the Rambam, end of Shmiti of Yovel. One day he got a phone call from a lawyer's office from Switzerland. The embassy had contacted him. He'd like a meeting with him. So what does he want? You know, so he checked all his passports, everything seems okay, you know, he's voted in the last in the canton. Well, exactly, what's this all about? He gets called to the embassy and there's a lawyer waiting there, and he said that he came from one of the cantonim. A cantonim is Switzerland split into different areas. There was a man who died childless, and he left in his will that he wants to leave over, multimillionaire, he wants to leave over all his money to the man, to the family who came from his particular area with the most amount of children. And after many, many years of research, they finally came out that this man had the most children, and therefore he has inherited this person's entire estate. I don't say exactly how much, but there was absolutely millions. Vitsivisius Burchosi. Tevak connects up, that's not a ness. A person living like that creates a situation where this person should think about doing that and giving it to him. That is teva, that's works of teva, that's not a ness. And that, if a person lives that way, there's no point in worrying, there's no point in ripping somebody off. You live a life that's completely different. And that, by the way, I want to finish off with this, that, by the way, is why it's also to take ribis. The Torah says ribis is one of the asurim that is so chomor that a person doesn't even get up for tchiyas ha-meisim. It's a famous story. One of the villages, a person was malva beribis, and he was lending money in ribis, and this went on for years and years. And a new rov came to town and said, "This person malva beribis, you know, we'd like to stop him. He's lending on ribis. You know, how do we stop this guy?" He said, "Call him in." So he said, "Call him in." He said, "Listen, I represent the Chevra Kadisha here as well, and I just got to tell you that you know, you already reached the age now of over 50. We start charging people for Chevra Kadisha, and in order to get a spot, it's going to cost you 50,000 ruble. 50,000 ruble? Everyone else pays 200 ruble. Why 50,000 ruble? It's very simple. Everyone else, as Hashem, soon Tchias Meisim is going to happen, and it's only a temporary. They're renting it. You're buying it. This is a spot you're never ever going to get up from. Therefore, when you buy this spot, it costs much, much more. And therefore, obviously, you've got to pay as a sale rather than the rental. It's going to cost you 50,000. That is Malva Beribis. Why is a person not allowed to be Malva Beribis? So Rishon Shemfal here speaks about it. Many other Mephoshim speak about it. The idea behind that is simply because it is such an assured, it is so assured that you're going to be making money. It is so no risk. You lend to a person who's trustworthy, and you're just getting the money ticking over, you're getting more and more interest. That person is living without emunah and betochen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not wanting you to live without emunah and betochen. Why can lend to goyim? Because it's not so assured. That's how they explain it. You're allowed to lend to goyim because the chance of getting it back isn't so absolutely 100%. And therefore, you're allowed to lend to goyim, you're allowed to lend to yidin, because it's assuredly going to be getting it back. Malv rosh lo yishalim. Of course, Jews will pay back. Sh'eris Yisrael yase avlo. Klai Yisrael don't do avlos. Don't twist what they have to do. They fulfill their responsibilities. Therefore, Kosh Baruch Hu says, don't make a business out of ribis, because you're not going to live with betochen. But listen to this. Look at this. It's Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says a beautiful piece. It says Ksav Sofer. He says, second. Yeah, this is Perek Chofei. Atikach mita neshech v'sarbis v'yereisim alekecho v'cheyach yichi imoch. Don't take ribis, and your brother should live with you. And the apostle says in Lamed Ches, Ani Hashem alekechem, I am Hashem, asher tzeisi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, that took you out of Mitzrayim, loseis lechem es eretz kanan, yoyis lechem alekin to be your God. Ask Sav Sofer, what is the connection between ribis and leaving Mitzrayim? So Rashi gives one teret, but what's pshat? So I heard a vort some time ago, a story from Pesach Kron. Pesach Kron, not sure which book it is, Pesach Kron says a story over where a family, Nebuch, lost a father at a very young age, and the father ran a business, and Nebuch, this boy, Yankel, his oldest son, who's 20 years old, steps in his father's shoes and takes over the business. And it's a shop. And of course, the competitors took advantage of that, and they fleeced him, and they swindled him, and the shop was going down and down, and he really was struggling financially in order to keep his family and his mother and his brothers and sisters sustained. Somebody came to him and said to him, "Listen, I can well imagine that you're in difficulties now. I'm happy to lend you $5,000. I'll lend you $5,000. So it's very, very kind. It would help me. I have to buy a new stock. Thank you very much. Anyway, he takes that $5,000. He invests it wisely. He builds up the business again. And a few years later, he comes back to this man. It's Mr. Stein. It says to Mr. Stein, "Mr. Stein, thank you very, very much for your loan. You have no idea how much it helped me. Here's your $5,000 back." So Mr. Stein turns back to young Colonia and says to him, "Listen, I don't want it back." He says, "What do you mean? I'm a wealthy man now. I'm Baruch Hashem, doing very well. I never took this as a gift, I took it as a loan." He says, "No, you don't understand. You don't seem to understand. Let me tell you a story. I, Mr. Stein, was in the same position as you many years back. And I was struggling, and I was having a hard time. And suddenly from my place, my town called Mr. Cohen, came to me and said to me, 'You know, do you need to borrow money?' And I said, 'Thank you very much, I'm very kind.' So he said, 'Here's $5,000. And he gave me $5,000. And a few years later, I did very well, and I came back to give the money back to Mr. Cohen. Mr. Cohen said to me, 'No, I don't want the money back.' So, what do you mean? I didn't do this as a take it as a gift. I gave it as a loan." He says, No. "I want you to give it back, but not to me. Hold on to that money, and when you see somebody else struggling, give that money to that person. Give that to that person. Give it back that way." And he said, "By the way," so Mr. Stein said to this Yankala, "Now is the time. You want to give it to me? Don't give it back to me. Next time you see somebody struggling, give it to them. That's how I want you to deal with this." Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says, "Here you have a brother who is struggling. He's struggling. He's having a hard time. You know what? I'll lend him money, make ribbis." Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "No, you're making a mistake. When you left Mitzrayim, what did you have? You were struggling. Do you remember that? The nation was struggling, had nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a huge amount of money and supported them and let them live like wealthy people and gave them a boost in order to financially to boost them up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had just taken them out as poor people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them now, 'You remember that? I should say, Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. Remember now? Now. You have the money now. When your brother comes to ask for money for you, give him that money that previously gave to you then when you left Mitzrayim.'" That is how we live with the Munim Betochen. With the Munim Betochen, we learn from Hilchos Shmita how to live. We understand that living in Eretz Yisrael is impossible unless we live with the Munim Betochen. L'shavtim Eretz Levetach. We live in Eretz Yisrael. We grow and grow in Betochen. Unless we have the Betochen, we can't shake around little flags and say how independent we are. If we have Munim Betochen, we can live with the Munim Betochen. Our lives will be better. The way you treat our fellow person will be better. We won't rip them off. We'll support them. Knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who writes the checks anyway. And Be'ez Hashem will have a life, not without any worry, without any, and with Be'ez Hashem, that all the brachos, the tzivisis, brachos, should apply to us on our daily life.